I'm dealing with the sermon, just an overview of the book of Philippians, the entire book, all four chapters. I've got 4 points, 1 point for each chapter. We have been looking at this sermon now for 2 days. The first day, we covered really just the introduction, never got out of the introduction. And then the second day, yesterday, we looked at the first point. I went back and played some of the introduction and then all of the first point. Now today, I'm going to cut out the introduction. I'm going to pick back up with that first point, and we're going to move right along into the next points. As we study the Word of God together and enter into a sermon preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses. The Bible says, Paul and Timothy, as the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. We ought to have a joyful heart, but we'll never have a joyful heart unless we have a joyful mind. Amen. I believe that's what this book of Philippians is all about. I mentioned 4 problems. There's 4 chapters in this book, and I personally believe that each of these problems are dealt with in each of these chapters, each one individually. And in order to help me remember it, I did alliterate the first part of it, and I'm thinking about the mind. Now, I'm talking about having a joyful mind. So how do you have a joyful mind? Chapter 1 deals with having a single mind. You can write that word down, two words, a single mind. A single mind overcomes diverse circumstances. Pulled here, pulled there. But if you got one goal that you're aiming for, you'll do all right. Amen. I believe the key verse to chapter 1 is verse number 21. If you'll turn there and look with me. Here's what Paul said. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. And we read that a lot of times. We say, for me to live is Christ, but that's not what he said. He said, for to me. For me, it's not, if I live, I'm living for Christ, is what everybody thinks. But he said, it doesn't matter what they think. This is what I think. If I'm living, I'm going to live for Christ. If I'm alive, I'm going to live for Christ. If I'm alive in a Roman prison cell, I'm going to live for Christ in a Roman prison cell. If I'm alive in a palace somewhere, I'm going to live for Christ in the palace, wherever it is. Amen. Whatever my state is, whatsoever state I've found in, Paul said, I'm going to live for Christ. For to me to live is Christ. One single mind. He had a driving passion, amen, and a single thought that dominated his life. That helped him to be happy. He was consumed with living for Jesus. Amen. I believe this single-mindedness helped him overcome his diverse circumstances. Paul found himself in a lot of different circumstances. Paul is surrounded in the writing of this book by adverse circumstances, diverse circumstances. He's surrounded by all kinds of problems. He is a prisoner. Yet he never calls himself a prisoner of Rome. He calls himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he didn't belong to Rome. It wasn't Rome that had him. It was Christ that had him. He was apprehended. Amen, Brother Hall. Like that zero candy bar. He was apprehended by Christ. So it didn't matter where he was. He belonged to Christ. Amen. And so he looked at it in those, through those glasses. I guess I'd say it that way. And so Paul, I thought about it this way. Paul wanted to go to Rome. He had a desire to go to Rome as a preacher. He didn't get to go to Rome as a preacher. He went to Rome as a prisoner. But just the fact that he got to go to Rome and serve the Lord Jesus. Look at verse number 13. He talks about, so that my bonds in Christ.
He's talking about, I'm a prisoner, but I'm a prisoner for Christ. These bonds, he's not blaming the sheriff. He's not blaming the patrolman. He's not blaming the crooked judicial system. He's not blaming the Jews. He's not blaming the Gentiles. He said, these bonds belong to Christ. Amen. Single-minded. Not only did he talk about this fact that he is bound for Christ, he was going to serve the Lord. And by the way, he was getting ready to face a judgment at this time that was going to mean either his freedom, could mean either his freedom or his beheading. And as he's headed toward, he doesn't seem to be too bad upset about it. He's got these bonds for Christ. And look what he says, verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of Paul the Apostle. I'm set for the defense of my rights. No, that's not what he said. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Paul said, I'm going down there for Jesus, and really it doesn't matter what they do with me. What matters is what they do with Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, on our job, whether they give us a raise or whether they fuss at us and cuss us and mock us, we're not there for ourselves. We're there for Christ. Amen. And let's represent Christ, whatever it is, wherever we go. Amen. In all of Paul's circumstances, I don't find Paul ever looking at them as obstacles. He looked at them as opportunities to serve God. Amen. And Paul chose... He chose rather than to complain about the chains that he was in. He chose to use those chains as an opportunity to witness and to preach. That's a single mind. Secondly, is a submissive mind. A submissive mind overcomes difficult people. Not only diverse circumstances, but difficult people. Look at chapter 2. And the central truth, I believe, is found in verses 3 and 4. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. Now, I know some people that twist that verse. They take that as their life verse. My job is to inspect you. My job is to look on your things and to pick out your faults and to broadcast your faults. That's not what that verse is saying. But that verse is saying this. When you're thinking about something that needs to be done, think about doing it for somebody else rather than thinking about how it always ought to come to you. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We don't think that sometimes, but it is. Our Lord proved that in His life, and Acts said that He said that. I don't know where He said it verbally, but He said it with His whole life, that He gave. Amen. And He's more blessed than anybody. He's got a name that's above every name. Why? Because He was willing to humble Himself, and He was willing to think of others rather than Himself. Amen. So I'm looking at this submissive mind, determining not to be selfish. I really believe one of the greatest sins of our world today is selfishness. That's why husbands and wives can have a little spat and they cannot mend it. They'll go to the divorce court over it because they're too selfish for either one of them to take the wrong. Amen. I can name a lot of things that selfishness causes so much trouble in our world. But we need to learn not to be selfish, but to be selfless. Amen. It'll help us overcome people problems. He gives us some scriptures here. Verse 1 through 30 of chapter 2. There's just 30 verses. He gives us four different people and the accounts of them. Verse number 1 through 11, he talks about Jesus himself, the greatest example, by the way. And let's just read it. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Listen, he was so high and exalted that he didn't try to exalt himself. He didn't need to exalt himself. But he tried to pull others up. and he tried to help others. Amen. But made himself, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he tells us in those first 11 verses how Christ had a submissive mind. Then he talks about himself, verse 12 through 18. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice in you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So he said, Christ submitted himself, and he had joy in submitting himself. I have submitted myself and have found joy in submitting myself. And then in these next verses, verses number 19 through 24, he talks about Timothy. Verses 25 through 30, he talks about Epaphroditus. And so he goes over and over telling us these men have sacrificed. These men have submitted themselves to God, to me, and to you. And they have found joy in that submission. Amen. I know you've heard this. Matter of fact, Ms. Gehring mentioned it today, that they say the word joy, the way to have joy, start with Jesus first. Always put Jesus first, that's the J. Others next, that's the O. And you and me, yourself, last. And if we'll do that, I think we can find joy. Amen. A submissive mind. A mind submitted to the will of God. Number three, there's a spiritual mind. And the spiritual mind overcomes destructive materialism that I talked about earlier. In chapter number 3, 11 times, Brother Paul uses the word thing or things. 11 times. He tells us in verse number 19 that some people mind earthly things. Look at it. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. By the way, I am amazed we're living in a day when people's glory is in things they ought to be ashamed of. They glory in how much fornication they've committed. They glory in how much markings they can put on their body. They glory in how many piercings they can have in their body. They glory in how much wickedness they can do. They glory in how good they can curse. They glory in all these things they ought to be ashamed of. Amen. They talk about, by the way, they talk about body shaming. That's a new phrase. Body shaming. In other words, you ought to flaunt your body. That is wicked as the devil. Amen. 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 It's wicked as it can be. You ought not flaunt your body. You ought to live for the glory of Christ. Amen. And the glory of God. Have a spiritual mind instead of minding earthly things. He warns us and reminds us not to mind earthly things. But look at verse 20. Here's why. For our conversation is in heaven. Amen. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Here's my point. They're minding earthly things out there. We're supposed to be thinking about heavenly things. Amen. We're supposed to be, our conversation is from heaven. Amen. I believe he's saying this, that if our mind can be trained to stay on Christ, we can have a spiritual mind. We can have a spiritual heart. Our heart won't be longing for the things of the world. Matter of fact, if we will walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what that King James Bible says. Amen. You say, do you believe you can live above sin? No, I don't believe you'll ever get to the point that you cannot sin, but I do believe you can get to the point that you don't do as much sinning if you'll keep your mind on Christ. Amen. We're human, we fail, we are fallible. In other words, that means fallible. We can fall, but we shouldn't always be fallen. Amen. Some people like to make a big deal about that righteous man may fall seven times, and they make it look like he stayed down there seven. Oh, no, he hadn't. He's got up every time. Amen. That spiritual man has gotten up. Amen. And so what a mind, heavenly things, have a heavenly outlook, a heavenly viewpoint. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he considered all the gifts that he had. He had plenty of them. He considered them to be given to Christ. Surrendered them to the Lord. All his accomplishments, all his abilities, all his attributes, all his acquirements, everything he had, when you read chapter 3, he had surrendered it over to Christ, counting it as nothing, that he might gain Christ. Amen. That he might know him more and serve him better. Amen. That kind of thinking will keep us from becoming materialistic. Amen. Spiritual mind. By the way, I'll say this and I want to move on to my last point. One blessing of missions conference is that we're coming here for a week, Wednesday to Sunday. We're bombarding our mind with thoughts about something more important than money. Something more important than popularity. Something more important than climbing the ladder and getting recognition. We're thinking about the souls of men. We're thinking about the Great Commission. We're actually thinking about sacrificing our time, sacrificing our money, sacrificing some of our abilities, sacrificing those that some sinner might come to know Christ. And when we think on that, you know what it causes us to do? It causes us to make some of those sacrifices. And that's why I believe that faith promise goes up and we keep right on walking the way we ought to walk because we've been thinking right for a while. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.